Hear me, hear me, hear me. The Honorable Supreme Court of the State of Nebraska is now open for the transaction of business. Draw nigh all ye having business with this honorable court, and ye shall be heard. God save the State of Nebraska and this honorable court.
Thank you. Anyone who is standing may be seated, and good morning to everyone. Our first case of the day is Houghton versus Department of Revenue, and what we're going to do is have all of the members of the court introduce themselves, and then counsel, we will have you introduce yourselves also. I am Mike Hevigan. I am the Chief Justice, so by seniority as to membership on the court, the other members of the court will introduce themselves.
Good morning. I'm Justice Lindsay Miller Lerman. Thank you.
Good morning. William Cassin.
Stephanie Stacy. Good morning.
Jeff Funk. Good morning.
Jonathan Papik.
John Friedenberg.
Thank you, members of the court. And Mr. Houghton, are you present this morning?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Bartel, are you also on WebEx?
Yes, I am, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. And good morning to both of you, counsel. Do either of you have any questions before we begin?
No.
Do not, Your Honor.
And we shall begin. Mr. Houghton, again, good morning to you. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. This case involves the application of well-worn and long-used facts and circumstances tests applied in determining a person's domicile. The context of the inquiry in this case is Nebraska's ability to tax a couple's income who left Nebraska in 2011 to take a job in the UK for a European company, Visa Europe. Tom and Pam Houghton had twice before lived in the UK while working for ACI, a company headquartered in Nebraska. They developed a fondness for London and the United Kingdom, and when they were approached about the opportunity to return to London a third time, this time with Visa Europe, they decided that if they went to London, they would this time pursue a UK citizenship. In late 2011, Tom resigned from ACI and he and Pam moved to London and took on their job at Visa Europe. Before they left the United States, the Houghtons put together a plan to attain UK citizenship. They met with a UK immigration solicitor, determined what was required, and started on a path to UK citizenship. The Nebraska Department of Revenue asserted a tax deficiency for 2012, 2013, and 2014, and asserted a tax on Houghton's income at Visa Europe, claiming that the Houghtons were domiciled in Nebraska by virtue of a regulation that had long had but had never utilized. The petitioners challenged the regulation as unconstitutional. It basically said that if you leave the United States for another place, you remain domiciled in it. That was challenged as unconstitutional at the hearing officer level. The commissioner did not use the regulation, but determined that because the Houghtons could not apply for UK permanent resident alien status for 5 years, they could not form the requisite intent to abandon Nebraska as their domicile, nor intend to make the UK their home for an indefinite period of time.
Mr. Houghton, yes. I'd like to ask you a question. It's a two-part question, and I apologize for the length, but you'll see where I'm headed. The first part of it is, in your brief, you seem to take the position that the other countries' legal regime is irrelevant to the determination of domicile. But if you were to hypothesize a legal regime in the incoming country, if you will, that said, we don't allow anyone to come in for any reason, for any length of time, and anyone who does will be immediately ejected. You would not claim, would you, that such a regime would be irrelevant to an intent to establish a domicile in such a place?
I would not.
Okay. With that settled, then what is it about the legal regime in the United Kingdom that you think allows your clients to establish residence, even though there were some limitations on their visa at the time that they began their most recent residence in that country?
Because of the regime in the UK, and we set this out, the regime in the UK creates a path. It is a step along the way. They were required to take certain steps. They were required to keep, for example, keep track of how many days they were going to be in the UK versus some other place. And because Mr. Houghton's job took him all over Europe, he had to take very careful care to make sure he was in the United Kingdom for the requisite number of days each year. And so there is a path. That's the difference. In your hypothetical, it's important because there is no path. There is no door. Here, there is a clear path they set out, and that's the test. The test is, what is your intent? But the test isn't, I achieve the goal. The test is, what is your intent? And as long as
there is if I may, then your argument is they've set out on the path. It's a six, is that right? A 6-year path. They can make facts, but they can't actualize the result.
Well, no, they can stay indefinitely until they have the right to stay permanently. But the right to stay somewhere permanently has never, ever, as any case I found, has never been applied in a facts and circumstances test when applying the concept of domicile, when looking at and analyzing the concept of domicile. And the case that's relied on by the district court and by the commissioner, the Toll versus Marino case, it's exactly on point. Those people, those three students who wanted in-state tuition at University of Maryland, were there because their parents worked for an international development bank and had G4 visas. They didn't have to apply for citizenship, and in fact, they didn't. They were not citizens of the United States. They didn't have to pay Maryland state tax. They didn't have to pay federal tax. But the Supreme Court found that under the federal regime, there was nothing that prohibited them from going down that path. Therefore, they could form the requisite intent to be domiciled in Maryland.
By virtue of their having taken steps along the way.
No, they didn't take any steps. All they had was a G4. And the mistake that, respectfully, the mistake that the commissioner made in relying on Toll was he focused on a piece of dicta where it said, basically what, Judge Castle, you're hypothetical. If there's no way, then you can't form the intent. But in that case, there was a way, and the ultimate holding of the Maryland case in Toll versus Marino was there was nothing that prohibited those three students from becoming domiciled in Maryland for the purposes of in-state tuition.
Before your time completely slips away, with respect to 2012, there was the election for a special capital gains election that's available only to Nebraska residents. What effect does that have with respect to the case as a whole, or with respect to at least the 2012 tax year?
Well, thank you for that question. I think the answer is that it has no, it's a factor you can look at, but in this case, it was explained that the accountant prepared the return. There had been a mistake. ACI was supposed to give the Houghtons, Mr. Houghton, money at the end of 2011, failed to do so, paid him in January of 2012. It was with respect to his work in 2011. I know of nothing that says that they don't get that. And they were residents in 2011. The income was in 2011. It was just paid in 2012. They didn't know, and they testified, that they were making a statement that they were current residents. In fact, they didn't say they were current residents. They just said, we think we are entitled to this this special application of this particular regulation. That's what they said.
Does that inform the court's assessment of their intention?
Oh, I'm sorry?
Does that tax activity inform the court's assessment of intention?
I don't think so. I think it was explained adequately. The commissioner and the district court have essentially added a new requirement to domicile never before added, and that is you actually have to tick all the boxes in achieving resident status under foreign law before you can have the intent to become domiciled there. That's never been the case. Such a requirement creates an irrebuttable presumption, and according to the Sugloff case from Oklahoma that we cite, that is arbitrary and capricious. I respectfully suggest that it is arbitrary and capricious to apply it the way the commissioner and the district court did in this case, and I reserve the balance of my time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Houghton. Mr. Bartel, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, the question presented is whether petitioners were resident individuals for Nebraska income tax purposes for tax years 2012 to 2014. The district court's finding that petitioners never abandoned their Nebraska domicile and were subject to taxation as Nebraska residents during those years was correct and should be affirmed. Domicile once established is presumed to continue until it's shown to have changed. To establish a change of domicile, a person must demonstrate both physical presence and an intent to abandon the former domicile and remain in a new one for an indefinite period. Petitioners had the burden to prove they abandoned their Nebraska domicile. Now, petitioners' main argument is that their move to the United Kingdom and their stated intent to stay there establishes they abandoned Nebraska as their domicile. But that intent is not consistent with the fact that petitioners did not have a right to remain indefinitely in the UK during the years at issue.
Mr. Bartel, I want to ask you sort of the opposite question that I asked Mr. Houghton. Assume a legal regime that says, will it take anyone that wants to come for 50 years? No questions asked. But there's a time limit, 50 years. Is that, under that regime, would someone on day one be able to claim their domicile in that country?
I think they would, because 50 years is such an extended period of time that seems to meet the test of abandonment and indefiniteness.
Okay, so once we've eliminated the extremes, what is it about this particular legal regime that weighs against the ability to establish domicile from day one?
Well, as a matter of fact, the visas that were allowed the Houghtons to remain in the United Kingdom had an expiration date. They were temporary work visas. They were valid for only 3 years, and they were conditional. The right to remain would cease if sponsored employment ended, or if employment was not maintained in a qualified position. So, in fact, those initial visas were good for 3 years. They were actually extended to allow them to remain, because under the United Kingdom's immigration rules, you had to be in the country with valid employment for 5 years before you were eligible for indefinite leave to remain or ILR status. So while they did apply for and receive that status in 2016, the fact remains that during 2012 through 2014, they didn't have a right to remain in the United Kingdom indefinitely. So the district court correctly found that because petitioners had no right to remain indefinitely during those years, their subjective intent to stay did not affect a change of domicile.
So, in effect, the tax commissioner and the lower court were looking at particular steps in the process that Mr. Houghton would describe as a process. What makes it appropriate for us to look at it in steps as opposed to an overall process?
Again, the key is during these years, no one's questioning that once they attain ILR status and ultimately they became citizens, that they had in fact abandoned Nebraska as their domicile. But it's the fact that they didn't have a right to remain during these years. It was conditional. It was temporary. That is insufficient as a matter of law to meet the indefinite test that's necessary to abandon domicile.
Before you resume the other part of your argument, there's one thing I want to ask you about. Mr. Houghton referred to a regulation, which, as I understand it, neither the tax commissioner nor the district court nor the state on appeal is relying upon the particular regulation to which Mr. Houghton referred. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor. The tax commissioner's decision did not rely on the regulation because it did not. We took the position in the district court that it was inappropriate. It wasn't before the court. It was not an issue to be decided. And the same is true, obviously, in this court.
Thank you.
Is there anything that appellants could have done in this five-year period differently or to avoid the tax in question?
They obviously couldn't change the rules under UK immigration law, but there were other factors the district court noted that supported finding they didn't meet their burden to establish abandonment. They retained property here. Their residence and another home both were rented during the years at issue. They weren't sold until 2017, which was, of course, after the department had given the notice of deficiency in 2016, and they received ILR status in 2016. So the court below gave weight to the tax commissioner's finding that retaining their former residence here provided them a soft landing spot if they were unable to remain in the United Kingdom.
Is there a set of facts or behaviors by which they could have abandoned Nebraska in those 5 years before they got to the ILR status?
Well, in terms of the indefiniteness requirement based upon the temporary nature of their UK employment, they couldn't have changed that. But again, that's not the only factor you look at. It's I think, a very important factor in this case and the primary factor. But again, there are many factors you look at in determining domicile. And again, another one that I think is significant is, again, the taking the special capital gains election in 2012, which was signed by Mr. Houghton in 2013. So again, that's an election or exclusion from Nebraska income tax available only to Nebraska resident individuals. And so again, that it's a combination of factors. Those two factors were also noted by the district court in finding that in fact they had not met their burden to prove. And again, it's their burden to prove abandonment of Nebraska as domicile.
And to your mind, that 2012 tax item indicates not abandoning.
Correct. It's, again, if you're not a resident individual, you can't claim that exclusion. We submit the record supports the district court's finding that they did not abandon the Nebraska domicile. They did not meet their burden of proof to show that. And we would respectfully request that the court affirm the district court's judgment.
Does the record tell us anything about how likely it was that the Houghtons would be able to extend their visa beyond its initial expiration?
Don't believe it does, Your Honor. I mean, it does include just simply what are the requirements, and basically it's continued qualified employment in the UK, and so there's nothing in the record that I recall that would address any potential that was not likely to happen.
So if those conditions are likely to continue, why could they not have a subjective intent to remain if it appears likely that their right to remain will be extended?
Well, I don't think it's their subjective intent that controls. It's the objective test. And if objectively you can't rely upon the fact that you have a right to remain, that it is conditional or temporary, it had an expiration date, that's what controls. Their subjective intent is not enough.
Mr. Bartel, one more question back to the regulation and its constitutionality. If that can't be raised before the commissioner, how does one contest that in a court of law?
Well, there is a statute, 84911, that allows one to challenge the validity of a rule or regulation or its application. And that includes raising a constitutional issue. I think that the issue here, though, is that the regulation was addressed before the tax commissioner, but not used by the tax commissioner in making his decision. So because it was not relied upon, it was not properly before the district court as a constitutional claim. Obviously, courts don't decide constitutional issues that aren't properly presented. It was not necessary for decision because it wasn't relied upon by the tax commissioner. So it simply was not an issue to be addressed. And since it wasn't relied upon, I don't know how it would be before the court in any event.
Thank you. Do we have time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor, 39 seconds.
39 seconds. Mr. Houghton, we'll give you a minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate that. The test is the subjective intent. The facts and circumstances, the objective facts and circumstances are used to test the subjective intent. That is the domicile test. There isn't an objective test. You just look at facts and circumstances objectively. And they did these worst steps along the way. They had the right to remain indefinitely. They had done this twice before. They knew how to take the second step and get a renewed visa, work visa, and then how to take the next step. They had actually investigated this the second time they were in London and had started that process. So there are those steps. The hearing officer here heard all of their explanations and said, if you had moved to California rather than the United Kingdom, we wouldn't be here because of the regulation. So he understood that the facts here are pretty clear and the record's clear with their explanations that answers all of the department's facts in this case. And I would be happy to go over them, but I'm obviously out of time and don't want to take any more time. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, counsel. Thank you both for participating by WebEx. And we will go on to the second case of the day then, which is In Re Estate of Larson. I am recused from this matter, so Justice Miller-Lerman is going to preside. It is my understanding that I'm going to disappear from the WebEx board, and I will let Justice Miller-Lerman greet the attorneys arguing In Re Case of Larson and preside over that case. Thank you, everybody.